Shavuos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1-1. This Mishnah is going to sound kind of familiar. It exists actually a number of times in Shas. And basically, the idea is, it starts out by saying, Shavuos, Shtaim, Shen, Arba. There are two types of Shavuos that are mentioned in the Torah, that are Doraisa. We're talking here Shavuos Bitui, Oaths of Utterance. There really are four, meaning that the rabbis see two more obligations on a Doraisa level based on other considerations, the drushas in this case. So we'll have a similar thing for Yediyas Atuma, Shtaim, Shen, Arba. There are two Yediyas Atuma, notions of knowing your tummy, I'll explain in a moment, that are really four, and same goes Yetzias HaShabbos, Shtaim, Shen, Arba, two ways of doing the Malach of Hotza, they're really four, on a Doraisa level. And then finally, Maros Negaim, there are two categories of Nega, of like, you know, Tzara'as, skin affliction, that are really four also on a Doraisa level. So that's like the story here, really. In other words, there are four separate topics in this Mishnah, each one kind of stands totally alone. The only common thread is that there are two that are four. So let's describe each one in turn, even though, of course, they're also described in Nagaim and Shabbos and the like. Here we have Shvuos Shtaim Shen Arba, meaning that the Shvuos Bitui, for which if one contravenes it b'shogeg, one takes the Shvuos Bitui and it makes it false, or it is false, so then the obligation is to bring the Olav Yorah, this variable offering. As I described before, the variable offering is a kind of chatas, but it's variable in as much as if a person can afford it, he brings a female goat or sheep, but if he or she cannot afford it, he would bring a bird offering, either to Bnei Yonah, baby pigeons, or to Tor, to doves. And if he can't afford that, even he would bring just the Minchas Chota, a simple meal offering that includes basically just ground flour with no oil or frankincense or anything. In any case, so the two that are the explicit in the Doraisa are about a person committing to yes or not do something. The Pasuk says, this is reading from Vayikra Perek Hey Pasuk Dalid, and really also it'll go to Hey and Bob also a bit. So it says there, O nefesh ki sishbat levate bisfasaim, if a person should swear, levate, to express something bisfasaim with his lips, and this verb levate, to express with the lips, is where the expression of a shvuas bitui, an oath of expression, comes from. So it's an utterance. Lahara o lehetiv, to do, literally means to do bad or do good, but that means, the simple reading would mean, and meaning to do bad or do good to himself. In other words, a person swears that he will do bad, he swears he will not, you know, sleep tonight, or drink wine or the like, or lehetiv, to do good, he swears he will do something, you know, tonight he will, you know, relax and drink a cup of wine or get an extra hour of sleep, whatever the story is. If a person takes such a shvua and he's bound by such an oath, and then he fails to do so, then we have this olav yorah obligation. Now the pasuk continues on, and it says with the riboy, extra words which come to add something, l'chol asher yivateha adam b'shvua, whatever person might utter regarding an oath. So that whatever is going to add the two more. Hence, we're going to get the two, the will or won't do something, and then the two more, which are going to be that he did or did not do something, or something did or did not happen. So, and then the pasuk ends up by saying, v'ne'ela mimeno, he forgets, what's concealed from him, v'hu yada, and then he realizes that he has sworn falsely, v'ashem la'achas me'ela, and he's like in violation of, guilty of one of these crimes. Then the pasuk later on goes on to say, v'hevi es ashamo la'ashem, he brings this guilt offering, but it's not an asham actually, it's an olav yored. He brings it to Hashem. So the point here is that when one, the Torah says that there's an obligation to bring this offering if a person, lahara lehetiv, he says he will not or will, yes, do something. And then there's two more learned out from a drasha, l'chol asher yivatea adam b'shvua, that comes to also add if a person claims something did or did not happen. If those oaths are made and they turn out to be false, then the obligation, if he did it b'shogeg, is bringing olav yored. Okay, now, the next sentence of the Mishnah stands all by itself, which is about Yediyas Hatuma, so that are Shtaim Shen Arba. Now, this is kind of important to understand, because it becomes the topic of the rest of, really, the next two chapters. But I'm going to explain it very briefly here, only because we're going to expand about it over the next two chapters. The basic idea is that if a person who is Tame, either enters into the temple precinct, the Midrash we're talking about from the Ezra Yisrael and the
Azara, the man's courtyard, if you will, and further in, meaning further west than that. So we're talking about the area that's like 187 almost wide. That includes the where the Heichal is, the Kadosh HaKadoshim inside, and that kind of that area. So if a person goes there when he's Tameh, so then potentially he's on the hook to bring an Olav Yored. Or if a person who is Tameh conveys that Tumah to Kadoshim, like let's say he eats like a sacrificial meat, like a Shlamim or whatever it is, he's eating his Korban Pesach, and he's Tameh, then also potentially he'd have to bring this Olav Yored Korban as well. Now, based on the Pesukim, it's understood that it has to be that he knew he was tummy, and then he forgot, and then afterwards he realized he made a mistake, so he knew again that he had done something wrong. So that's the basic idea, and it's called Yedias Hatuma, because the point is he has to have known he was tummy before he went and did the prohibited thing. In other words, just for example, if a person went to do a Lila Regal, he went to the Beis HaMikdash, Pesach time, and after, in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach, there's an announcement. The Emperor says, oh, by the way, if you came on that road, so there was actually a dead body in the overhang and you're all tummy, or whatever the story is. So he didn't know he was tummy when he went and ate his Korban Pesach, so he would not be on the hook for an Olav Yored. It has to be where someone told him, oh, no, you just touched a dead rat, now you're tummy, and then he forgot about that. Then he ate his Korban Pesach, then he remembers, oh, darn, I was tummy. So that's Yedias HaTumah. Okay, so Shtayin Shenhen Arba means that we're talking about if a person knew he was Tameh, then he forgot, and then he either A, went into the temple precinct, or B, you know, conveyed Tumah to Kadshim, like eating sacrificial meat and the like, and then he remembered, oops, I shouldn't have done that. So that is the situation where he had a Yedias HaTumah, he knew he was Tameh, he forgot, he made a lapse, and now he's bringing all of the Yored. There are really two that are four, because, according to this Tana's opinion here, we also say if he forgot that the thing he was eating was Kadshim, or the place where he was the Mikdash, then he realizes, oh goodness, this isn't just any old steak, this is a Shlamim steak that he's eating. So then all of a sudden now he would also, if he knew beforehand, someone said, you know, that those lamb chops or whatever it is are Kadshim lamb chops, be careful. And then he forgot, then he ate them, so then he'd be on the hook. Whereas if he never knew, but then while he's in the middle of eating his, you know, his steak or lamb chops, whatever it is, they say, oh, that actually is Kadshim, and he didn't know, he would not be on the hook. Okay, so that's the two that are four here. Just an important side point I want to speak out right now. Both of these first two cases in the Mishnah, the two that are four regarding Shavuos and the two that are four regarding Yedias HaTumah, are actually both machloks, and they're both debated topics. What defines them, if they really are four or just two. The first Mishnah, the first part of a Mishnah, I should say, regarding Shavuos, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and it's the halacha that we do say that all four of those versions of Shavuos Abitui, meaning will or won't do something, did or didn't happen, all four of those can obligate all of a Yored Korban. The second part is actually the person who's arguing with Rabbi Akiva elsewhere. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, which is actually for Yedias HaTumah, there are only two, not four. It has to do with forgetting a person was tummy as opposed to forgetting the place of the food was tummy. In any case, it is peculiar that the Mishnah lumps them together because of two different shitas. The first is Rabbi Akiva, the second is Rabbi Yishmael, but the Gemara discusses it, ends up saying the reason for that basically is because, you know, that was the majority of the B'nai Yeshiva, the people of the time, held this way, but the halacha doesn't quite follow that. Okay, now, the third of the four, two that are fours in our Mishnah, is Yitzios HaShabbos, our Shtayin Shen Arba. This is referring to the Malach of Hotzah, 39 Malachas you can't do on Shabbos, under penalty of Kares, or of a Chatas proper. This is not an Olav Yored, a variable Chatas. This would be the full-blown Chatas, one did it b'shogeg. So of the 39 Malachas, one of them is called Hotzah, which I'll translate very loosely now, is transferring from one kind of domain to a different kind of domain, meaning from Rosh HaSayachad to Rosh HaSarabim, or vice versa. Now, Hotza means to take out, okay? And the two that the Mishnah has in mind here is the two ways a person could take something out from a Rosh HaSayachad, a private domain, to Rosh HaSarabim. So what are those two? It could be either that a person is standing on the inside, this is his house, and he sees, you know, there's a newspaper in his house, and he says, I want newspapers in my house, and he picks it up from inside his house, and he plops it down in the street in front of his house. So he'd be motzi, that's hotza, he's taking it out of his house. The other way is because the neighbor could say, oh gosh, I'm looking for the paper. And he reaches in to the private person's home, picks up that newspaper and brings it out into the public domain. Both those, the newspaper is going from inside to outside. And those are the doraisas of hotza. But essentially, Chazal understand from a svara, from logic, that the prohibition is to transfer from one domain to a different kind of domain, and therefore would be an equal violation of the malach of hotza to do what's called hachnasa, to bring in. In other words, for someone to stand on the outside of the house in the Rishus Harab, in the public domain, and then put the newspaper in to the private domain, or the person standing in the private domain to reach out and pick up the paper and bring it into his house. Those are both hachnasos, and those are the other two ways, for a total of four, that a person can be over the Isser, the Raisa of Hotza. It's a little confusing to speak it out here. The word Hotza is kind of being used in two ways here. On the one hand, we're talking Yitzilus, or going out as like a generic sense, transference, whether in or out, and also specifically Hotza as opposed to Achnasa, going out to the Rishus HaRam, as opposed to coming in from the Rishus HaRam. Okay, in any case, those are the two that are four when it comes to Hilchot Shabbos and Hotza. And then finally, we have Maros Negayim, Arshtayin Shen Arba. The idea here is that there are specific colors of skin affliction which constitute Tzara'as, and if they're not the right color, then they're not considered to be Tame. Kind of like, you know, checking for like a blood stain and the like, if it has to be the right color. So similarly, Tzara'as. Now, the Tzara'as, all the Tzara'as skin afflictions are all white, but there are different shades of white, just there are different kinds of shades of red and the like when it comes to Tumah for blood. So there are two basic types, that the two that are really four, but the first two are what's called a baheres and a se'es. Baheres, the word bahir means very bright. This is a bright white, it's the same color as snow. And then you have se'es, which is a less bright white. Okay, it's the color of wool, according to the chamim, that's the shita, that's the lacha, color of lamb's wool. Okay, it's like an off white. And then each of those two, based on the pasuk, have what's called a sapachas. So sapachas is like a subcategory, okay? A duller version. So the sapachas, the duller version of the baheres, is something which is like the color of the white of the plaster used in the like Beis HaMikdash. It's a plaster white that's less bright than a snow white. And the sapachas of the se'es is a less bright white than the lamb's wool. It's the color of the krum habeitza, the membrane on the inside of an egg, like an eggshell. Think of like the inside of the eggshell, not the shell itself, but the inside of the eggshell. There's like a little kind of membrane. That's the color of white we're talking about over here. So those, the two explicit in the pasuk, beheres and se'es, there are really four, the sapachas of the beheres and the sapachas of the se'es, for a total of four, two plus two. The drush, there's a little more subtle, because the word sapachas does appear explicitly, but Chazal essentially understand from this word extra, the extra usage, the extra word there, that it's se'es o sapachas, and then a sapachas o beheres, the sapachas doubles up as being a subcategory of both a beheres and a se'es. Okay, so any of those four colors are tamei medoraisa, to make a person to be a mitzora.